सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरितौरवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so Yudhishthira's vast tree formed of religion and virtue. Arjuna is its trunk. Bhimasena its branches. The two sons of Madri are its full-grown fruit and flowers. And its roots are Krishna, Brahma, and the Brahmanas. So Yudhishthira is always situated in Krishna consciousness. He's always, submissive to the Acharyas and to the Brahmanas. Right? So that gives him his position, his potency. Pandu, after having subdued many countries by his wisdom and prowess, took up his abode with the Munis in a certain forest as a sportsman, where he brought upon himself a very severe misfortune for having killed a stag coupling with its mate, which served as a warning for the conduct of the princes of his house as long as they lived. Their mothers, in order that the ordinances of the law might be fulfilled, admitted as substitutes to their embraces the gods Dharma, Vayu, Sakra, and the divinities of the twin Ashwinis. And when their offspring grew up under the care of their two mothers, in the society of ascetics, in the midst of sacred groves and holy recluse abodes of religious men, they were conducted by rishis into the presence of Dhritarashtra and his sons. Following as students, in the habit of brahmacharis, having their hair tied in knots on their heads. These, our pupils, they said, are as your sons, your brothers, and your friends. They are Pandavas. Saying this, the Munis disappeared. And so he's giving like a synopsis of the whole thing. That's what he said in the first 150 verses, first two chapters, and everything in the whole Mahabharata is explained. Hmm? You have a question?
I have my question.
You forgot. Maybe you raised your hand too quickly and knocked it out of your mind. When the Kauravas saw them introduced as the sons of Pandu, the distinguished class of citizens shouted exceedingly for joy. Some, however, said they were not the sons of Pandu. Others said they were, while a few asked how could they be his offspring, seeing he had been so long dead. Still, on all sides, voices were heard crying, "They are on all accounts welcome. Through divine providence, we behold the family of Pandu. Let their welcome be proclaimed." As these acclamations ceased, the plaudits of invisible spirits, causing every point of the heavens to resound, were tremendous. There were showers of sweet-scented flowers and the sounds of shells and kettle drums. These probably conch shells. Such were the wonders that happened on the arrival of the young princes. Joyful noise of all the citizens, an expression of their satisfaction on the occasion, was so great that it reached the very heavens in magnifying plaudits.
Maharaj, it said that they were brought up in the community of the sadhus.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't the Pandavas learn from them anything?
Yeah, of course they were.
So again, they were trained under Dronacharya?
Mm-hmm. Because they were not fully grown. You know? No, because they were young men. So they would have been trained, but they were kind of like the time when you'd live at house and live with the mother and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're a little bit bigger, then they grow up. Okay. Because then they're big enough to go to the school and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Having studied the whole of the Vedas and so many other shastras, the Pandavas resided there, respected by all and without apprehension from anyone. The principal men were pleased with the purity of Yudhishthira, the courage of Arjuna, the submissive attention of Kunti to her superiors, and the humility of the twins Nakula and Sahadeva. All the people rejoice in their heroic virtues.
You didn't say anything about Bhima?
No, it didn't. After a while, in this one it doesn't. After a while, Arjuna obtained the virgin Krishna at the Swayambhar in the midst of a concourse of rajas. Concourse means like a whole, you know, group. By performing a very difficult feat of archery. And from this time he became very much respected in the world amongst all bowmen. And in the fields of battle also. Like the sun, he was hard to behold by foes, and having vanquished all the neighboring princes and every considerable tribe, he accomplished all that was necessary for the Raja, his elder brother, to perform the great sacrifice called Rajasuya. Yudhishthira, after having, through the wise counsels of Vasudeva, and by the valor of Bhimasena and Arjuna, slain Jarasandha, the king of Magadha, and the proud Chaidya, acquired the right to perform the great sacrifice of Rajasuya, abounding in provisions and offering, and fraught with transcendent merits. Fraught means having, you know, completely full of. You know, so here, fraught is used nicely. Generally, people use nowadays fraught means it's fraught with difficulties, means so many difficulties. Here, it's being used properly. Fraught just means it has so much. And Duryodhana came to the sacrifice, and when he beheld the vast wealth of the Pandavas scattered all around, the offerings, the precious stones, gold and jewels, the wealth in cows, elephants and horses, the curious textures, garments and mantles, the precious shawls and furs and carpets made of the skin of the Ranku.
What is Ranku?
Ranku is I'm not sure if it's here, because Ranku, not exactly sure. Ranku, you would think it would be a deer. Or something, you know, either the black buck like this, you know. This one's a young one, so it's not black yet. Unless it's, yeah, I would think it would be that. Unless it's the spotted deer. But I think they're called sambaras. He was filled with envy and became exceedingly displeased. And when he beheld the hall of assembly, elegantly constructed by Maya, the Asura architect, after the fashion of a celestial court, he was inflamed with rage, and having started in confusion at certain architectural deceptions within this building, he was derided by Bhimasena in the presence of Vasudeva, like one of mean descent. Mean meaning here, meaning of lesser. You know, something's mean also means it's less. So if a person's mean, it generally means that they're less. You know, they're kind of connected.
What are the profits of the Rajasuya sacrifice?
Profits?
Yeah, like, why is it done?
I think it's the biggest of all the sacrifices, bigger than Ashwamedha, this, that. So it would take you to the highest kind of like, you know, it's probably like the highest karmakanda yogi you can do.
Maharaj, in Mahava it said that after doing the Rajasuya sacrifice, the person can go to the in the assembly hall of Indra.
Oh, okay.
And that's why Pandu had conveyed the message from Narada Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj to do the Rajasuya sacrifice, so that from the Yamaraj's assembly hall, he can go to Indra's.
Mm.
So that's why
But besides any other karmakandic work, is there any other benefit? Like establishing supremacy over all?
Means someone who is like undisputed emperor of the world, then generally only they can do the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So it would signify that he's, you know, like that's his position,
okay.
You know. But otherwise, then others will do other sacrifices. Like I think Yudhishthira, and I can't remember what it is, but there's also some rules. It's like Duryodhana couldn't do the Rajasuya,
yeah.
You know, because of some reason, you know. It'll be able to be explained.
Mm. I think the reason was because Dhritarashtra and Yudhishthira Maharaj had to leave their body before.
Yeah.
Duryodhana, because he still had superiors to him.
Oh, I see. It means it can't be anyone superior to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, because for Yudhishthira's father is already gone, and he's the oldest son.
Yeah.
Okay, but you notice in here it's like the essential points that create the pastime. Is that noticed? Like that. Means, you know, Swayambhar is dropped, but the point about it is he got Draupadi. They don't talk about the Hasalak. You know, it's an important detail, but it's not an important, like, main element in the thing. It's that means they got Draupadi as their wife, and they got and Arjuna established, you know, the sovereignty of the
neighboring
kingdom. You know. Yeah, means of the world, you know, under Yudhishthira, they perform after killing Jarasandha and that, then they were able to do the Rajasuya, and then at the Rajasuya, that and that assembly house, then made Duryodhana so envious that then that will start the next thing. Does that make sense? So in other words, what's the main points that actually make the pastime happen? Right, you know, means the, all, you know, how you say that Pandu died, and so then they were brought to the city. You know, he couldn't have children, so therefore the demigods had children with Kunti and Madri. Then they go back to the kingdom, and then, you know, they end up, you know, going. Then they get Draupadi, and then the Rajasuya.
Basically, it starts by glorifying Krishna and Vyasa, then it just gives a basic idea of the Mahabharata and then all stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into like the full details. I think in the one chapter, we'll see how if we go through it. It tells every parva, how many chapters it has, how many verses it has. It's like it's quite a. It gives all the details. I found. Then after that, then they start. You know, with the whole story of the beginning leading up to the snake sacrifice and how it was spoken. You know? Like in the Bhagavatam, then they want to know how it was spoken. So then, you know, the first canto basically brings it up to Rikit Maharaj and how it was spoken. Mm. You know, so in here, then also then that first it was represented to Dhritarashtra that his son, while partaking of various objects of enjoyment and diverse precious things, was becoming meager, wan, and pale. Right? It means meager, meaning, you know, like thin, not much going, small, you know, not much happening. So here in health, you say meager, this means he's kind of like drying up and all that. Wane also is like, you know, just like the moon wanes, it gets thinner. And pale, and it's just light, no energy, and all that. When Dhritarashtra, sometime after, out of affection for his son, gave his consent to their playing with the Pandavas at dice, and Vasudeva, in other words, because he was so disturbed by it, then Dhritarashtra, then out of affection, then allowed for the playing of the dice. And Vasudeva, coming to know this, became exceedingly wroth, meaning angry. And being dissatisfied, he did nothing to prevent the disputes, but overlooked the gaming and sundry, other horrid and unjustifiable transactions arising therefrom. And in spite of Vidura, Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa, the son of Sharadwan, he made the Kshatriyas kill each other in the terrific war that ensued. Okay, so now we can see here that there's a connection about that Vasudeva being dissatisfied with the gambling match. One is they took everything away, they drove that he was insulted. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then he didn't do anything to present to stop the dispute, because that would bring everybody together. And then from that he made all the Kshatriyas kill each other. You know, so all the demoniac people then were all wiped out. Does that make sense? Like that. So he didn't like it, but through it he used that to destroy all the demoniac elements. Yeah? And Dhritarashtra, hearing the ill news of the success of the Pandavas, and recollecting the resolutions of Duryodhana, Kama? And Sakuni.
Karna.
Pondered for a while and addressed to Sanjay the following speech. Okay. Yeah. Now you get more details. What you see here is that this must be after the
war.
After the war. So you see, he just brought it from there up to the gambling match, and that's the cause of the war, and then that's it. So you can see this that Krishna's plan was to, you know, remove all the demoniac elements. Now Dhritarashtra will then tell all the details and how he actually understood from the beginning that they were going to lose, but because of attachment, he couldn't do otherwise. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Attend, O Sanjaya, to all I am about to say, and it will not become thee to treat me with contempt. It will not become thee to treat me with contempt. It means it won't look good. Thou art well versed in the Shastras, intelligent and endowed with wisdom. My inclination was never to war, nor did I delight in the destruction of my race. I made no distinction between my own children and the children of Pandu. My own sons were prone to willfulness and despised me because I am old, blind as I am, because of my miserable plight. And through paternal affection, I bore it. Because I am old. Okay. Blind as I am, because of my miserable plight and through paternal affection, I bore it all. I was foolish, alter the thoughtless Duryodhana, ever growing in folly. Having been a spectator of the riches of the mighty sons of Pandu, my son was derided for his awkwardness while ascending the hall. unable to bear it all and unable himself to overcome the sons of Pandu in the field, and though a soldier, unwilling yet to obtain good fortune by his own exertion, with the help of the king of Gandhara, he concerted an unfair game at dice. You know, in other words, by just his affection, even though he didn't really see the difference between the children because of his affection for his own sons, then he let them come up with all these things and do whatever they wanted. Hear, O Sanjaya, all that happened thereupon and came to my knowledge. And when thou hast heard all I say, recollecting everything as it fell out, thou shalt then know me for one with a prophetic eye. In other words, he's saying is that as everything happened, I knew all these things were going to happen, so you could say that I'm actually a prophet. But unfortunately, due to an attachment, he couldn't act upon his knowledge. Okay. When I heard that Arjuna, having bent the bow, had pierced the curious mark and brought it down to the ground, and bore away in triumph the maiden Krishna in the sight of the assembled princes, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because he actually means, even though he didn't see, he just wanted his son to be on the throne. You know, so even though he's saying, you know, these things, he's very knowledgeable and trained and everything, but due to attachment, he's unable to apply it.
Can you explain just now you read Arjuna and the assembly of the king. I didn't understand what you mean. With the bow and Krishna.
It means he, in Draupadi Swayambar, okay. You know, he shot, he had the fish that's spinning one way and the wheel that's going the other way that has only a hole in it, and you have to string this bow that's very hard to string. And then you have to shoot the mark by looking into the reflection in water, like that. So it was designed that only Arjuna could do it, you know, like that.
Karna could also do it?
Could, but he wasn't qualified because he has a sutta, so then she wouldn't accept him. You know? I mean, if she had allowed, then he probably would have hit the mark and that would have been it, but he didn't.
The calculations didn't go fully right.
Well, because they don't expect, you know, he wasn't calculated into it because it wasn't like really considered a player in the field. But Duryodhana supported him, so then therefore he was. Okay. When I heard that Subhadra of the race of Madhu had, after forcible seizure, been married by Arjuna in the city of Dwarka, and that the two heroes of the race of Rishni, Krishna and Balaram, the brothers of Subhadra, without resenting it, had entered into Prastha as friends, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because now you had Dwarka, Krishna and Balaram, and Drupad, the kingdom of Panchal. Very, very powerful kingdoms. So then they have such powerful allies. Because before they had nothing, the Pandavas had everything. And now suddenly they have Drupad, and they have Krishna and Balaram. That's very, very...
Wasn't Balaram favorable to
Duryodhana? Maybe, but they were also favorable. He was also favorable to Pandavas. It's just Duryodhana was very, as a personal, like kind of, he was a good student. He was a very good student.
He favored Duryodhana, but he'd never go against Krishna's will, so he didn't. Mm-hmm. Also, mm-hmm. He can't act, but.
Radhitrasana knew that the Duryodhana was going to lose the war, right?
As it goes on, basically he knows that nothing will work, but out of attachment he's just hoping that maybe it'll go all right. You know, that's the problem. You know, and he sees that his son is unwilling. He could either fight with the Pandavas and win the kingdom, or go out and make his own endeavor in that. But he's always depending upon everybody else to get, and at the same time he wants. He wants to be the emperor, but he's getting everybody else to do it. He's not doing it himself. You know, he won't let Yudhishthira do his thing. He won't do it himself. You know, so he sees all that, but because he has such affection, therefore, like that, what can he do? When I heard that Arjuna, by his celestial bow, prevented the downpour by Indra, the king of the gods, had gratified Agni by making over to him the forest of Kandava, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because here, now they got these allies, plus he defeated the demigods. So it's kind of like, it's not looking good. When I heard that the five Pandavas with their mother, Kunti, had escaped from the house of Lak, and that Vidura had engaged in the accomplishment of their designs, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success.
Now his own brother turned against.
It's not so as it's turned against, because they're not supposed to be doing it anyway. You know, because Vidura is right, so, you know, they shouldn't have been doing that. You know? When I heard that Arjuna, after having pierced the mark in the arena, had won Draupadi, and that the brave Panchos had joined the Pandavas, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. You know, one that he could just do that, that meant he's a better archer. Because Duryodhana went there, strung the bow, shot the arrow, and missed the fish. So that means Arjuna's better. So that's the one thing. And then here, by that, then now Drupad's aligned with them. So then that was the problem. When I heard that Jarasandha, the foremost of the royal line of Magadha, and blazing in the midst of the Kshatriyas, had been slain by Bhima with his bare arms alone, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that in their general campaign, the sons of Pandu had conquered the chiefs of the land and performed the great sacrifice of the Rajasuya, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Draupadi, her voice choked with tears and heart full of agony, in the season of impurity, and with but one raiment on, raiment means cloth, had been dragged into the court, and though she had protectors, she had been treated as if she had none. Then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because if a chaste woman is insulted, that person and his whole dynasty, will be destroyed. Like that. So rule number one, never insult any chaste woman.
How we know one woman is chaste?
Best thing is, don't insult any women.
Safest way.
That's the safest way.
You were saying once in Bhagavatam class that they say that dog is man's best friend because it's got all the qualities that a chaste lady has.
Mm-hmm.
What are those qualities?
Serve, they're well-wisher, you know, they're favorable. They're favorable to those who are connected, you know, with whoever the master is. And they take up the same mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the qualities of a devotee, it's the qualities of a brahmachari, it's the qualities of women, it's the qualities of shudra. So those four qualities make all four of those groups glorious. You know, we only do things to please Guru Krishna, the Vaishnavas won't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Take up their mood, well wishing, serving, you know, anything, anyone connected with them. When I heard that the wicked, wretched Dushasana was striving to strip her of that single garment, had only drawn from her person a large heap of cloth, without being able to arrive at its end, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success, because he knew he was being protected. When I heard that Yudhishthira, beaten by Sobala at the game of dice, and deprived of his kingdom, as a consequence thereof, had still been attended upon by his brothers of incomparable prowess, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right? Because they were probably expecting when Yudhishthira's like this, then his brothers are all split, you know, this guy's useless or foolish, and then Yudhishthira's out of the way, and then, you know, Duryodhana can be the king, like that, or he can even then give the Pandavas, you know, positions and all that, and they will be supporting him, and Yudhishthira will be out, because he's the second eldest, like that, technically. I mean, Bhima is born at the same time, so actually you still have to contend with him.
Not easy as to Yudhishthira.
Yeah, so that's the importance of this, that sticking together, just that strength, and this cooperation. When I heard that the virtuous Pandavas, weeping with affliction, had followed their elder brother to the wilderness and exerted themselves variously for the mitigation of his discomforts, then O Sanjaya, I know hope is cassette, because even despite all this, they were maintaining their good qualities and virtue and all that. That means they're going to be powerful. Right? Because if somebody, you know, something goes wrong, you still support them. And that's a friendship. Or if something goes wrong and the person's forgiven, then that gives strength. You know, if one just criticizes this, that, and they lose strength. You know, finding fault and all that, then they lose strength.
Someone's asked by seniors to do something wrong, do you still have to do it?
Technically, no.
Why didn't Yudhishthira Maharaj go for
that? That because it was just that it's not wrong for the kshatriyas to, if challenged, their game of dice to play it. But since the whole arrangement was wrong, but Dhritarashtra was there, so he's following right by following his authority in this case. Because it's not completely against, it's just improper, it's cheating. You know what I'm saying? But the situation is not. That makes sense.
He agreed with the rules also, so he has to cope with them.
This is quite good. When I heard that Yudhishthira had followed into the wilderness by snatakas, it means, you know, qualified Brahmins who have graduated from the Gurukul, and noble-minded Brahmanas who live upon alms, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success.
When to mention snatakas?
Snatakas means, because snatakas, they have a tendency to, after they graduate, to go traveling, go to the holy places, or go visit, you know, places where there's discussions, you know, like yajnas and that, and things like that, to further their knowledge before they actually settle down and get married and all that. Mm-hmm. So snataka generally is in between graduation and marriage, like that. Though anybody who's went to Gurukul and finished his education and graduated, then is a snataka. But they're not living as a snataka, so they're not called snatakas. So this would mean they're living as snatakas. Like that. And here, noble-minded Brahmins who live on alms, so that would most likely be those who are married, and that's their occupation, is alms. Like that. Well, a snataka is still actually like a student. But he's an adult student. He's not a brahmacharya anymore.
So the time when the Pandavas with Kunti were in, after the house of Lat, they were traveling, and the night they met that Gandharva,
mm-hmm.
Chitrarasa.
Mm-hmm. Because generally the snatakas technically is only supposed to be Brahmins, but Kshatriyas, Vaishyas can also follow it. You know.
That time they were snatakas.
Yeah, you technically call them snatakas, like that. But the problem was is they weren't engaged actually as snatakas, in that they were just going and studying and this and that. They were living more like kshatriyas. So therefore the Gandharva took offense, because they're not grihasthas, but they're not brahmacharis. Right? Mm-hmm. But if they'd been snatakas, where they're just traveling and going, then they'd be dressed in the deerskins and like that, and oh, I mean they were anyway from the forest, but they actually they wouldn't have been. But then they would have, how do you say? They're not like following vows and stuff like that. They're just in exile. So his point is, you know, you have to be married and you have to have your Brahmin priest. When I heard that Arjuna, having in combat pleased the god of gods, Trayambaka, the three-eyed, in the disguise of a hunter, obtained the great weapon Pashupata, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the just and renowned Arjuna, after having been to the celestial regions, had there obtained celestial weapons from Indra himself, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that afterwards Arjuna had vanquished the Kalakeyas and the Palomas, proud of the boon they had attained, and which had rendered them invulnerable even to the celestials, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right? He's gotten all these weapons, and he defeated these demons who the demigods couldn't defeat. So then, you know, what chance does his son have? Yeah.
The Dronacharya had learnt all the weaponry from Parashuram. So didn't he teach all the celestial weapons to Arjuna?
He may have. No, he also taught them to his son.
But then, is it like two levels of
weapons? He's taught what he had, but at the same time, the use of celestial weapons he's taught, and he got from him the Agni weapon, Agniastra. But at the same time, as then he got more from the demigods. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? When I heard that Arjuna, the chastiser of enemies, having gone to the regions of Indra for the destruction of the Asuras, had returned thence successful, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Bhima and the other sons of Pita, Kunti, accompanied by Vaishravana, had arrived at that country which is inaccessible to man, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because men can't go there, but they went there.
What?
Only the celestials. You know, like Gandamandana and those places. Like that. But that's where they came from. They were originally from there. So.
Man cannot go there means the lack of oxygen and all those.
Not just an ordinary man. Or how are the pious credits to go there? So he won't see it. See it's there.
It's like those stories where you hear guys in plane over Himalaya and suddenly see.
Yeah, like that. That's just what's going on there that you don't know. So you can only see what you can see. It's like an ant, you know, if they're crawling on this table, they understand the computer and this and that, and we're sitting here having a Mahabharata class. No. So they can't see it. It's there, but they can't see it. When I heard that my sons, guided by the counsels of Karna, while on their journey to Goshayatra, had been taken prisoners by the Gandharvas and were set free by Arjuna, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Dharma, the god of justice, having come under the form of a yaksha, had proposed certain questions to Yudhishthira, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right? It's because he was so righteous that he could please, you know, Yamaraj with his questions, so he's not going to do it. Because from piety comes all good result, you know. So therefore, you know, he knew that he's got to get good result because he's good. When I heard that my sons had failed to discover the Pandavas under their guise while residing with Draupadi in the dominions of Virat, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success, because then they're coming back. When I heard that the principal men of my side had all been vanquished by the noble Arjuna with a single chariot while residing in the dominions of Virat, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success, because he came out there, and except for Bhishma, you know, he had wiped out the whole army, you know, alone. right? You know, and that's dressed up as a eunuch, so they really didn't know what's going on, right? So that would even disturb more as this lady's out on the cart and letting him have it, you know?
Arjuna shot that arrow, the Astra, to make everybody go to sleep, and he sent Uttara Kumar to get all the garments for everybody.
But he told him, don't go near Bhishma.
Because
he's, you know, he's just going along with it. Right?
It's going to be fun.
When Arjuna went to fight with the Kauravas in Virat, why was he feeling the stress to fight on Kurukshetra? Why he was feeling that he should not fight, and his the guy,
because all that was out there were his enemies. All that was there was his enemies, and he simply was trying to defend the honor, so they just had to get the cows back, that's all. You weren't out there really for, you know, so serious of a battle. You know, it is a battle, but it's not like there, all it is to get the cows back and keep them from continuing their fight. So he did, that's why he just put them all to sleep. You know? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But on the battlefield, then it's all his relatives are out there. You know? So he doesn't want to kill them, you know, Shalya and Dropad and this and that. So in a battle, he's going to lose anybody.
These aspects like the Pasupata and that sleeping astra, is it that they can only be used once?
Depends on the weapon.
Cause
what the rule is.
From what I read, only Arjuna used the Pasupata only once.
Because you have to use it in the right situation, on something that warrants it. If you use the celestial weapons on ordinary people, or situations don't warrant it, then they'll get a bad reaction. You know, plus you have to be able to remember it and all these things in the battle, and you know, so it's good. Like that. No, but they can, many of them can be used many times. Some of them is they used once and go back to whoever gave it. You know, like that. Or,
you know. Yeah, like when Ashwatthama shot a Brahmastra and Arjuna can't nullify it. Like then, if they both countered, then it would be so powerful it could burn the three worlds. But then in the war, there's someone like Brahmastras flying around.
But they're single going to wherever they are. They're not hitting each other and fighting with each other.
But when they counteract another Brahmastra, how is that done?
But the two of them were just there against each other because they were equal power.
Mm-hmm. Serious weapons. Here they're sitting with a nuclear bomb to destroy one continent, and then they're sitting with two arrows which can destroy the whole universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that Vasudeva, the race of Madhu, who covered this whole earth by one foot, was heartily interested in the welfare of the Pandavas. Then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. You know, when God's on the other side,
did actually Vidarasana knew that Krishna was the supreme personality?
Yeah, he knew. He's just too attached. Yogana, he's in that pastime, and didn't seem to. He's a part of Kali, so the Kali knows. You know, he's one of the officers. You know.
But then also because when Krishna tried making peace, he showed his universal form.
So he knows, but people talk him out of it. You know, just saying it's just so mystic. When I heard that the king of Matsya had offered his virtuous daughter Uttara to Arjuna, and that Arjuna had accepted her for his son, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success, because now you have another king allied. You know, and plus he had such, you know, good character. When I heard that Yudhishthira, beaten at dice, deprived of wealth, exiled and separated from his connection, had assembled yet an army of 7 Aukshahinis, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Narada declared that Krishna and Arjuna were Nara Narayan, and he, Narada, had seen them together in the regions of Brahma, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. God's on your side. When I heard that Krishna, anxious to bring about peace for the welfare of mankind, had repaired to the Kurus and went away without having been able to effect his purpose, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Yes.
Is it that God split into two and came into Narayan, or is just Narayan is God and Narayan is just like his servant?
Yeah, it means you always have God in his servant. Like that. So a servant just happens to be, you know, here, that incarnation of that servant, that's Arjuna. So they're always together, Krishna and Arjuna. So it's Krishna and Arjuna and Narayan.
Is there a
Vaikuntha planet
Narayan?
I'm not sure, maybe. But Arjuna just is manifest here in the material world. He's in the pastimes in the material sphere. That's where Arjuna, you know, is accompanies the Lord. Like
that. When Bhagavad Gita was spoken, who was... When Bhagavad Gita was spoken, who was it recorded by? I mean, who... Like, did anybody speak it after?
Vyasadeva. He's the one that's written it down. But he's...
I do not have to tell somebody else, no?
No, but Sanjaya heard it. Right? Sanjaya means what we're hearing is what Sanjaya explained. Right? Because the book is going by... Dhritarasa is asking Sanjaya what's going on in the battle, so Sanjaya explains the whole thing. So Vyasadeva is writing down what Sanjaya said. Okay. So what we're hearing in the Gita is Sanjaya's, presentation, his explanation. Because he was hearing it as it's going on.
Did Dhritarashtra know about Arjuna marrying Ulupi and Chitrangada?
Ulupi and Chitrangada. It may come up in there, but I don't think that it's so as important like that.
You've connected with five kings.
Yeah, it's so like that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.